Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We're going to start this morning. Brother Travis has something he'd like to read to us, and he's going to tell us about it.
I've got a poem that Sue's sister wrote before she passed away. Her husband always worried about he didn't have to always have the money to buy her something with. And so she wrote this, says, the best gift not under the tree. The best gift is not always under the tree. Happiness comes from the heart. Some things you cannot see. After 64 years of marriage, we've been through many kinds of weather. Sometimes we're great, others as tough as leather. You and I have walked together down this road called life. I thank God every day you pick me for your wife. Our walk is more feeble now and painfully slow. Still holding hands down the road we go. I don't need diamonds and pearls or a fancy car. Just want to walk with you wherever you are. We're marching toward the sunset. Someday we'll finish this race, but we shall still be holding hands forever, just in a better place. So happiness does not come from a box under the tree. We've already have it inside you and me. Sometimes we think we need lots of presents to really rate, but just remember, it's Jesus' birthday we celebrate. That was written by Doris Bradley, which was one of Sue's sisters. Thank you.
Everybody pick up your hymnals. Turn to page number 87. Page 87.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory on the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Also was charged this morning with getting to read something to you, and so I'm going to read it to you. Says on this card, says, bless you for the little things you do in thoughtful ways. Bless you for the way you've brightened up so many days. Bless you for your giving heart as kind as it can be. Bless you in a thousand ways for truly blessing me. Cindy and I have so much to be thankful for. Y'all are the best of everything. Thank you for the Christmas gift. Thank you for the anniversary party, cards, and gifts. Most of all, thank you for being you. Love, Sam and Cindy. Thank you. So, now you know who it was from. It was from our pastor and his wife. We kind of think y'all are the best, too.
Amen.
Everybody turn to page 64. Page 64.
You, but after all the rain we've had, it sure is nice to see a little peak of sunshine.
Amen.
And that little bit of sunshine lifts my spirits up and makes me happy. So I'm happy to be here. I'm glad y'all are here. If you're here visiting with us this morning, we're really, really glad to have you. Please just join in with us as we sing praises to the Lord and as we read the scripture here in a little bit. Everything that we do here, as Brother Russ said earlier, our list of events, announcements is getting a little shorter. But I also know that probably your calendar is getting a little bit busier, time with family and stuff. So enjoy the season, enjoy the family. But don't forget why we celebrate and what we're celebrating. It's all about Jesus. We've had a lot of stuff going on. It's been a lot of fun. This is a good place to be at church. You guys are the best. I look forward to coming and seeing your smiling faces and every Sunday. So invite somebody with you and let them come down here and join in with what we got. All right, we have some new calendars and pens back there on the back table. So if you need a new planner, Or if you don't have a pen, please grab one of those or more than one. Stick them in some stockings and share them around. The pens have our church name, address, website, stuff like that on them. I know Brother Jeff uses his daily planner every year. I can't write that small, so I have to get a bigger one. But I'm still a paper and pen kind of fella too, Jeff, so use those things. You know, it's funny, I've got iPad, iPhone, computer on my desk and everything else, and it's all linked together and it all has calendars, and I still write stuff in my book. So that's the kind of way a fella I am, I guess. But get you one of those, get you a pen. Also, this morning will be a special offering for Brother Walter. We have been trying to help Brother Walter and his family recover from some costs from surgeries and treatments and stuff like that. Thankfully, right now, as far as we know, he's clear.
Amen.
And he knows and we know that God has this. So we continue to pray for Walter and his family, but the second time the plates passed this morning is so we can help him. Those bills, they keep coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I appreciate y'all helping, and I know him and his family do as well. Next Sunday morning will be our youth fund offering, so we'll also pass the plate a couple times then. The second time for our youth fund, it takes care of Wednesday night food and stuff like that for the kids. By the way, we had a good Christmas party this last Wednesday for them. They enjoyed that very much. So, had a good group of kids. So, now next Sunday evening, December the 23rd. So, you need to put this. Has been preparing for us a piano concert once again. If you've not ever heard one of his concerts, you've missed a blessing. He's a very talented young man. He puts a lot of effort into preparing. You will enjoy it. So that's at 6 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, the 23rd. Also, there will be refreshments. Now, my understanding is that Russ and them are going to furnish, but I think we should help. So bring finger foods, whatever you would like, and we will have a time of fellowship and refreshments after that. All right, then Sunday evening, December the 30th, will be our singing and fellowship here at the church. So we have eaten a few times, and we're going to be eating a few more. And boy, Walter, it's a hard time to be on a diet. There's a lot of good food floating around out there. So keep that in mind. Keep your bulletin to help you put all that stuff in that planner back there. Anything I missed?
Page number 122.
I can't find the way.
happy, happy. Good to be here this morning. All right, we had a good lesson in class this morning, and I know y'all did as well. But if you're not coming to Sunday school and our Bible studies, you're missing a great blessing. We have a good time in the Lord. We study God's Word. We get a lot of discussion. I highly encourage you to come to Sunday school. It's really a good study. As we're nearing the end of this year, boy, it seems like they come along quicker all the time. We're nearing the end of this year, and we're also getting closer to the end of this series. I had originally wanted to finish this up at the end of 2018, so next year. That's just the way it is. So unless God changes my mind, and that happens quite often, I just have to tell you, today and two more in this current series that we're in. Next week we will talk about the virgin birth, obviously, right before Christmas. And then the last one of our Baptist distinctives will be baptism and the Lord's Supper. We'll try to do those at the same time. And again, God might change all that, so you never know. But that's Sam's plan, kind of in the next few weeks. We'll see how my plans go. I don't know. And now, as we prepare for Christmas and as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, the God-man, the God-child, I think it's important for us to understand why he had to come. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, but why was it important that God send his son from heaven down here to this earth for us? Now, we're going to explore that just a little bit this morning. Now, there are many different beliefs in other religions concerning salvation. If you're not a born-again believer, if you haven't placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this message this morning is vitally important to you, so I urge you to listen. Salvation is the biggest decision you will ever make in your life. Now, some people, some religions believe that you will are either saved or you're not. You have no choice in it. God has already decided where you will spend eternity, either with him or in the lake of fire and brimstone, the eternal hell, that you're predestined where you go. Now, I have many, many problems with that, but one that really sticks out in my mind and makes it very simple to me to understand that that's wrong is that if you're either going to heaven or to hell, why do we do anything while we're here? Why do we come to church? Why do we live good? Why do we practice Christianity? If that's true, then why does it say in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved, a workman rightly divided in the Scripture? Why does it say in Luke chapter 9, Jesus asked, why were we given the Great Commission, which says, go ye therefore and teach all nations? If God has already determined whether I'm going to be in heaven or whether I'm going to be in hell, why do we do these things? Why do we? Evangelism is useless if we have that kind of thought process. I submit to you this morning that if there is no conviction of the Spirit of God unto salvation, why did Jesus say in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Listen, if your destination is already predetermined, we have no need of the Holy Spirit to be sent. If God has determined before you were born your eternal destination, the Holy Spirit's wasting his time here in amongst us. In John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me Now, this is important, so listen. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." You see, Jesus said, "I need to go back to be with my Father so the Holy Spirit can come and be a part of y'all." We're drawn by the Spirit of God unto salvation in Jesus Christ. That means, friend, that we have a choice. If we're drawn, if we're convicted, the Spirit's here, then we have to choose. We get to choose. Let me just put it that way. We get to choose. We get to choose where we're going to spend eternity. Now think for a minute. If the choice is already made, why would God draw us to Him if that choice is already there? Also, one of our t-shirt scriptures, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that whosoever means everybody. It doesn't leave anybody out. Now, I want you to not make a mistake this morning. I want you to understand this. You must choose heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Now, the only part of predestination that we believe and teach here at Oak Hill is that there's only one way to get to God, and that was predetermined by God Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You either are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ or you are lost, and there is no in between. Amen. Saved by the blood, going to spend eternity in heaven. Lost, you're going to be spending eternity in hell, separation from God and Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice that He made is the only acceptable way to be close to God. Okay, why is it important that Jesus come to this earth and be born as all God, all man? Another popular belief is that you can be saved 1 minute and lost the next. We see that in a lot of religions today. And we talked at length about the security of the believer last week. I'm not going to preach it again. If you missed that sermon, I think it's an important sermon. You can go back in on our website at www.oakhillmissionarybaptist.com and pull that up and listen to it. All I'm going to say about that this week is that when you're truly saved, born again, covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you stay saved. Amen. Because you're safe in the hands of Jesus and God. Now, let us explore just for a little bit why we must be saved. It all goes back to, why did Jesus have to come? Why must we be saved? And what are we saved from? Well, we are saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, what is that? It's death. It's death. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we don't have to die that spiritual death ever. Okay? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they walked and they talked with God. And oh, I'm looking forward to the day when I can do that as well. But I want you to think about Adam and Eve for just a moment. They had everything that humans could possibly want. If you go over there and you read about the Garden of Eden, if you study what God had for them, they lived in the perfect place. They lacked for nothing. Everything that they needed was given to them by God. Now think about that for a second. Now we live in a country where it seems like that we're trying unsuccessfully to give people everything they want for free. We had that at one time, given to us by God. Now, there was only one thing that they couldn't do. Now, they lived in this perfect utopia, perfect bliss, everything that they could want. They didn't even have to sweat. They didn't have to pull briars and all that stuff. God fed them. They didn't have any need of clothes. Perfect weather, and they got to walk and talk with God. Boy, what are we missing out on today because of sin? Adam and Eve, they lived there in the garden, and there was only one thing. Out of all of creation, there was only one thing that God told them they couldn't do. One thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can find that and read that over in Genesis chapter 2. Now, they had a choice just like we do. They got to choose. They chose wrong, just like we do many, many times. They could choose God's way and stay in His presence forever. Do you know that if Adam and Eve hadn't eaten that forbidden fruit, they would still be in the Garden of Eden today? You know, I've talked to people about the new earth, old earth ideas, and where did dinosaurs come from, and all this, that, and the other. Well, I submit to you, I can argue both points of that argument, and I don't think it really matters. A hill of beans, we can get all hung up on it. I don't care if the earth's 10 million years old or 6,000 years old. It doesn't matter to me, because for one thing, we don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden walking and talking with God before they sinned. It could have been a day, and it could have been in 10 million billion years. I don't know. But I do know that if they hadn't have chosen to eat of that fruit, if they hadn't been beguiled and eaten and sinned, they'd still be there. And we're where we're at today because of the choices they made, but also because of the choices we make. It's God's way or man's way, and they're not the same. One thing that they were supposed to not do, and they did it. You know, when we were raising our kids, it seems like if you wanted them to do something, tell them don't do it. If you didn't want them to do it, tell them to go ahead and do it. That's just kind of man's nature, is it not? But without choice, God doesn't get honor and glory. Because let me tell you something, whenever we choose God's way over our way, God gets honor and glory, and it makes Him happy, and He blesses us for it. When they ate of that forbidden fruit, sin entered into their lives. That sin started us down this long road to destruction and death. Yes, I know, they didn't die physically, immediately, but they did die spiritually. And I submit to you that a spiritual death is much, much worse than a physical death. Physical death is just the beginning of eternity. And I look forward to the day because I know that I'm going to be in the presence of God because of what Jesus did for me on that cross. I'm ready. If my day is today, y'all sing praises that I got to go to be with Jesus. But listen to me. If you are not saved and covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and you die the fifth point, and it's not going to be a pretty one, it's not going to be happy, it's not going to be good. Physical death is just the beginning of eternity because we are created in the image of God. And because God reached down after He formed Adam of the dust of the ground and of the earth and He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, we became a part of God and we are going to live forever. Spiritual death means eternal separation from God. And I submit to you this morning, my friend, that that really is torture, separation from God. Do you know that God, in His glorious righteousness, cannot be in the presence of sin? And so when Adam and Eve sinned, He had to cast them out of the garden because He could not be in the presence of sin. And because of that sin, because of that unrighteousness in mankind, there had to be a payment made for sin. There had to be. God requires innocent, shed, sinless blood to be spilled as payment of the sin. In the law of Moses, we see that after the fall of man, God required man to offer innocent animals for the remission of sin. Go back and read Leviticus and over there, and you'll see this picture of what Jesus was going to do for us on the cross. The law makes it obvious that we cannot live good enough to save ourselves. that we had to have this sacrifice. Sin after sin had to be paid for. I was thinking as I was preparing this sermon that if I had to offer a sheep or one of the animals for every sin that I've ever committed, my herd would have been gone a long time ago. Think about that. I can only imagine how often I'd have had to go, because I have to get forgiveness daily. I wouldn't have a herd. I'd be having to go over and steal some of Gene's sheep, and then that'd be another sin, and here you go. God knew we couldn't live without sin. He knew it. So, He tells us in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, all means all, everybody. Everybody. We're told in the Word that if we are guilty of one sin, we're guilty of them all. Let me tell you something. One little white lie, that's sin. And that's all it takes to be separated from God. If we sin one little sin, we're guilty of all. I can't. And I know you're better than me, but I got news for you. If you think you can, you're wrong. You can't either. Live without sin. There's only two kind of people in this world. There's born again believers that are sinners, and they're lost sinners. So, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And God knew that we had to have payment for our sin, and we couldn't do it. Jesus, God in the flesh, had to come down here to this earth to fulfill the law. I didn't say replace it, I said fulfill it. He fulfilled the law so that we could have a perfect, sinless sacrifice for our sins. Jesus Christ did that for you, my friend. In Romans 5 and 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's talking about Adam, and by death, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of what Adam did, we all have to die a physical death. Okay? But look, on down a few verses in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Sometimes this is referred to in our studies as the first Adam and the second Adam. What that really means is that both of them were beginnings. The first Adam was the beginning of creation of man. The second Adam, Jesus, was the beginning of our way to get to eternity with God. Jesus, you see, had to come and be born in a fleshly body so that we could be forgiven of our sins and spend eternity with God. He had to be that perfect, sinless sacrifice once and for all. You know, do our day that we don't have to keep account of every little sin that we do and go and kill some innocent animal to get forgiveness. And you know, that was a daily battle. And we study and we talk about the temple worship, and once a year the high priest had to go in and offer an atonement or a payment for sin for the nation of Israel, and he had to do it in such a manner and be cleansed, and everything had to be exactly the way it was. And if he went in there and he wasn't purified and cleansed, he died. Because that's where God dwell, and God can't be in the presence of sin. And it was so vitally important that he did this, that they would tie a rope on his foot, around his ankle, If he went in there and died, they couldn't go in and get him, so they had to tie that rope on there so they could drag him out. Because if they went in there, they died as well. You see what they had to do? Guess what we have to do? Believe. Believe upon the name of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Perfect, sinless sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for us. He fulfilled the law. We're going to talk about the manner in which he came next week, right before Christmas. But I think sometimes that we need to be reminded just how easy God made it for us. You can't do it by yourself, friend. The Bible is so very crystal clear that salvation is available to all man, both rich and poor. And oh, by the way, you don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa from NYU to understand how to get it. Even an old dumb hillbilly like me can figure it out, because God made it available to everyone. I love Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. A lot of times people leave off the 10th verse. It goes right along with it. It's so simple. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, ordained that we should walk in them." Let me tell you something, friend. We are saved by the grace of God through our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you will ever be in the presence of God Almighty. You can't live good enough. It's a gift that God gave us, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. But look, it don't stop there. It don't stop there. Look at verse 10. "For we are his workmanship," Jesus, God, "created in Jesus what he did for us unto good works." Let me tell you something, friend. People that say that, "Oh, well, you're saved, you don't ever have to do anything." You know what? That's true in one sense of the way, but I want you to know something. If you just sit on your laurels and don't do anything after you're saved, you will answer to Jesus Christ for that. You see, we're saved to do good works so that others can have what we have. Because I can't give away what I have, I can only share it with people. There's never been more sin than there is the grace of God. I want you to understand this, so pay close attention. All those in the Old Testament days were saved the same way that we are. There's never been but one means of salvation, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. There has never been, nor will there ever be, any other way. No other name under heaven given whereby men might be saved. God's grace abounds through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of looking back on the cross and what Jesus did for us at that time. But listen, we're all saved the same way, through our faith in Jesus and what he did. You can't live good enough, and you can't be too bad. I think of the Apostle Paul quite often, and what a bad, bad person he was before he met Jesus, and what a good, good Christian he was after that. You see, the grace of God covers all sin. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all of those old things are forgotten, forgiven, and we move forward. Jesus will tell some who claim to be followers of him to depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You see, some people claim something that they don't truly have. And I submit to you this morning that be sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before it's eternally too late. Does Jesus know you? I love the story in Acts 19. There were seven sons of this Sceva going around talking over, praying over those who were possessed with evil spirits. They were trying to act like Paul. I get tickled every time I read it, and it's really not nothing to laugh about, but that they could think that they could do this on their own. They just thought they could do it. Now, in Acts 19:15 says, and the evil spirit answered and said, okay, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, I hope the spirits know who I am. Do the spirits know you by your works? Grace is abundant. Grace is abundant. But it only comes through the blood of Jesus. No blood, no grace. Jesus died on the cross one time for all sins. Must believe and accept. Salvation is a free gift of God, and it doesn't cost you anything, but listen to me, friend, it costs God a great price. And because of the price that God paid by sending His Son down here as a babe, and seeing Him hung on that cross, and He who knew no sin became sin for you and I, you can't come to God any other way except through His gift, Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Him? You can this morning. All you have to do is trust and believe. Next Sunday we're going to talk about the babe and the birth and the virgin birth and why it had to be like it was. And it had to be that way because God had to send His own sacrifice, and He did that some 2,000 odd years ago so that we might have salvation. Have you accepted the free gift of God? And it's still as vivid in my mind as it was the day I took that first step out that aisle. I never will forget it. Can you, my friend, go back to your salvation experience and know that that's the day that your life changed? And if you can't, I pray you examine your salvation experience because it'll change who you are forever. It'll change your desires. Have you been changed? I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask for you to stand with me for a word of prayer. As we bow, our fathers, we come to you at this time, Lord, thankful for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us by sending Him. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that Jesus made by coming. Lord, the things that He went through here on this earth, the temptations, the trials, and all the hardships that He faced just like we do, Lord, and still He lived without one sin. He followed your will. Lord, help us to be more like Him. But Lord, to be more like Him, we first have to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, if there's any amongst us today that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that they would accept before it's eternally too late. I pray the conviction of the Spirit, Lord, on each and every heart that's here, whether it's for salvation, a dedicated life, maybe to a further service that you might have. Lord, soften our hearts, open our hearts, that we might follow that leadership of the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Page 187. Yeah.
stands and knocks on the door of your heart, all you have to do is open it. He does all the heavy lifting. All you have to do is accept what He's already done and open your heart and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, if you're burdening this life with things that you can't take care of, let me tell you what, Jesus can handle it. He tells us in the Word, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, for my burden is easy, light. He can handle it. You know why? Because He's already conquered death, hell, and sin. So don't carry your burdens. You know, we're all going about buying gifts and stuff to give to each other in this time of giving. Well, give Jesus all your problems and issues. He's there with open arms wanting to take it. All we got to do is give it to Him. Lay it on Him. Knocking at the door. Open your heart for salvation. But also understand that He wants to ease your burden in this life. You know, when you have Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, nothing that happens to you in this life has any bearing on eternity. It's sealed. What's this world going to do to us? Send us to heaven a little quicker? Amen. Won't you listen as the Spirit calls as we sing another verse?
If 'tis for purity, now that you sigh, let Jesus come into your heart. Fountains of are flowing nearby, let Jesus come into your heart.
I hope that each and every one of us has let Jesus into our heart. And tonight, come back. We're going to finish up Exodus.